Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Get a chance to visit with Josh Jostis, head football coach at Maroa Forsyth High School down in Macon County, his 21st year, one of the top 2A programs in the state. Talking to him on this Thursday, August the 13th. So this should be the fourth day of high school football practice in Illinois in the fall of 2020. It is not. Josh Jostis, how are you coping with that?
We're hanging in there. Our kids just finished their workouts at 10 this morning, so we are still able to lift and run, so still getting that in.
So we get the contact days, the coaches do, 20 of those here in the fall for football coaches and other sports in the winter and spring. And to back up contact days, I know some people get confused and they're saying, well, are you talking about physical contact? No, this is, we're talking about basically contact between coach and student athlete. How important was that, do you think?
Well, I think that was a big deal. It would be asking a lot. You know, I'm not sure how much most people got in, but basically you were able to get the month of July in with limited physical contact, as you said, but at least we could install the playbook and do those things. I think it would be asking a lot if we didn't do anything between now and February for the kids to have that retention, you know, that would be needed. So I think the contact days will be big. As I said, we're still able to lift and run, so I feel like that part, which has already begun, you know, the conditioning part was a huge piece of it also. So.
Well, and you know, going back a couple of weeks in the anticipation of what was going to happen, and I think going in, you know, most people said, well, let's please get something. You know, best case scenario, have the regular fall sports season. Worst case scenario, everything get canceled. And then these other alternate plans that eventually led to high school football in the spring, a 7-week regular season, looks like 2-week modified playoff schedule. Take us through your emotions, you know, I guess in the month of August as we were approaching August 10th and what was going to happen with fall sports and high school football specifically.
It would probably be impossible for me to describe my emotions. You know, it was a roller coaster, combined with the fact that I also have a senior son on this team. So I've grown up, not that I don't see all of my kids, you know, for a long time, but literally we started flag football with these kids in first grade, and they've been such a great group, be the largest group of seniors that we've ever had. And so that was tough. You know, the biggest thing is like you said, is, you know, I did not want to have to walk into the room and tell them that it was canceled and it was over. So at least at this point, there's still some hope, and, you know, our kids are pretty motivated, and we haven't noticed anything really in a difference. Although this week, as we've been training, you've heard kids, you know, today would have been the second day of Hell Week, or, you know, I'd give anything to be going through, you know, our four corners, you know, right now, which is our toughest conditioning drill, you know, to get started on these weeks. And so that puts it a little into perspective when kids are begging for the hardest thing that we do. So.
Well, and then I guess, now knowing what we know, you know, and we look at what the opportunity is presented to member schools in the IHSA, do you know, is there something you look at that you say, boy, maybe we could have done it a little bit differently, tweaked it a little bit differently? You know, I know the emotion is we got something, but then, of course, human nature as well, maybe we could have done it this way and it would have been a little bit better. Is there something you would have liked to seen differently?
Well, I'm looking at my countdown clock right now as I'm still in the weight room, and it tells me it's 204 days away. So what that means to me is that we certainly don't have a plan that's set in stone at this point. And hopefully that's the case. I pray daily that, you know, a vaccine, preventative measure, you know, happens between now and when our winter seasons would start in November, and then, you know, carry that on over to end our seasons, because I really view it, especially what's happened with the Big Ten and Pac-10, is that's gonna be what is almost necessary for a lot of states to be playing. I know some are still playing, and I applaud applaud them for that. I know we've talked a lot about COVID waivers, sign-offs, just like my parents do on concussions, you know, right now. And there's an inherent risk, obviously, in our sport. I honestly worry more about those heat and concussions than I would have on this. And I know that's my own personal take, but, you know, 15 to 24-year-old healthy teenagers and young adults appear to be the least affected group. So that being said, you know, do we have different ideas? I would love for it to not be as vague, but I'm almost excited that that it says, you know, a 2-week playoff to be determined, and that maybe, you know, we have some more answers by then, personally endorsing a plan, with Steve Soucy, about, you know, going to a district format, and at least that would get us to an Elite Eight, a Final Four, and a state champion, you know, in their 10-week season, in football, and I'm a big proponent of that. Without sounding conceited, our kids are happy to be playing football. There's going to be no doubt about that. But a thought of not having a postseason would probably be devastating to them, even if we were able to play regular season games. So I would still am in hopes that, you know, maybe a little more. And if something were to come out of that, that would be great. And it would be really tough, you know. You have 8 2A districts or 8A districts or whatever you want. I mean, you got to win your district, and then that puts you, you know, in a quarterfinal, semifinal, potentially a state champion. The only people that would overlap at that point would be the 16 teams that are playing in a state championship, and you would only overlap for 1 week, you know, potentially from a playoff game on a Saturday to a state championship on a Friday. I do this to my basketball coach every year for 16 years in a row. He starts a week late, you know, to our season. So yeah. I would be happy to let him do that to me in the, this year. And then to us, I'm also our track coach and be happy to start track a week later. So I do think there are possibilities out there. I feel like the IHSA with their to be determined, you know, has left some flexibility there. And, That's what we continue to preach: hope and caution and safety with our kids.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about that concept, but I see most conferences now are starting to release their 7-week conference schedule to begin March 5th. So it's probably going to be tough to put something in place for this school year. And let's face it, we're all this is all determined. And we're all reacting to this ever-evolving pandemic. But you bring up an interesting point. And I don't know if this would be a bylaw amendment, and I don't know how it would work. And then you have to factor in the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Illinois State Board of Education and just this return-to-learn process. And I think we're really going to find out here over the next, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks as students return to class throughout Illinois, what is going to happen in regards to the pandemic and schools, if they have to shut down or if there's no issue. I mean, that's the big question mark. But you said COVID-19 waiver, and I've seen some college players say COVID-19 waiver, COVID-19 waiver. That's how we can get around this. Now, do you think that there is potential merit to something like that? Because if we don't see a vaccine, let's be honest, we're going to be right at the same spot again in mid-November when the high school basketball season begins for girls and boys and the high school wrestling season begins. And you see some of these areas. I saw yesterday, you know, some of these areas are starting to surge again in the state. And, you know, the governor and the IDPH director, they continue to hint at the possibility of bringing back some of these more strict restrictions. So that tells me, well, are we going in the right direction to get high school sports back? Probably not, as we speak. So what about maybe this COVID-19 waiver as it relates to interscholastic athletics? Could that, you think, be a movement or pick up some traction here? It sounds like a reasonable idea.
Well, there are a lot lot of things you just said, and I don't even know that we have time to go through all of those that I have opinions on. So I'll just stick with the COVID-19 waiver. Although, as we return to school in the next week, if we continue to treat one case, shuts everybody down for 14 days. It's not practical. I mean, we have 360 kids in our high school alone, 1,200 kids in our district. Somebody is going to have COVID, you know, in our district and every other district. And, you know, how we handle that would have been a big deal on how we were going to handle sports. As far as the waiver, our parents had to sign off on a COVID-19 waiver, just to re-enter into our weight room. They did it. I have 64 players on my team, and 64 players, parents signed the COVID-19 waiver to send their kids, in and be instructed with us. It is probably as clean in our weight room as it has ever been at any point. And, fortunately, knock on wood, but just by the grace of God, we have not had a positive case. That doesn't knock anybody that has, because it's a virus. It is going to be out there, and it will affect all of us. I really feel like without a vaccine, the COVID-19 waiver would be the only thing that we would be able to hang our hat on. And I do think that's a continued movement. It appears like it is also taken stage across colleges everywhere. What that's worth, what it looks like, I don't know. But I know as a football coach, we've signed off on a concussion waiver. You know, I've been at it for 24 years now. We read the back of our helmet, our helmet sticker, and probably for at least the last 15 years, we've been signing off on a concussion waiver that basically releases the IHSA should our kids experience concussions or worse, you know, from using their helmet. It releases the helmet companies and I believe also the school liability. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like that practice isn't in place already. And like I said, I can only give you a small sample of Central Illinois, but as far as a waiver just to return to our school, we were 64 out of 64 on our football team, and as far as I know, all of our athletes had to sign it to come back in, and as far as I'm aware, I don't think we've had a single kid that has signed it off that they wouldn't, and I think that speaks a little bit about what parents are thinking, you know, as well. But again, I can speak as a parent and as a coach. I can't speak for everyone.
But so. Is that a conversation point among coaches that you've been talking to about, you know, looking at a statewide COVID-19 waiver for the IHSA that would allow schools to play based on those kids signing that waiver, whatever sport that is involved in? And I think it was the Matter Bebe kid from Illinois. I saw he tweeted something out about that yesterday, and I'm like, interesting. If they sign the waiver, the parents and the kids, that basically, to me, would be kind of a path to move forward. Now, have you had some of those conversations within the coaching circles? Like, I guess
we have. I mean, there were several coaches that I've been in contact with as we were trying to put forth plans and come up with ideas, you know, on how to not just have to walk into our rooms and say it's canceled. And, you know, that was one of the big things was, you know, how would your parents handle, you know, a COVID release. And again, I haven't had anybody tell me they would be really concerned about fielding a team. I'm not saying every kid in the state of Illinois' parents are going to sign that, because absolutely there will be some that don't. But does it affect your numbers so badly that you wouldn't be able to field teams in those? And I don't think that's the reality of it. And because of that, I would say that just becomes another form that is required amongst our schools and release the IHSA, you know, from that. I'm sure, you know, they could have a document drawn up. But what I did hear about that, and I'm certainly not a lawyer by any stretch, was that insurance companies were not backing the fact that you signed this waiver. If a problem still occurred, then you would still be liable, you know, legally. And again, I have no idea how that would shake out. But I wouldn't think it's any different than me signing off on a concussion waiver that I have to for my son and daughter to participate right now, that I do in every sport. So.
All right. And you brought up another point, and I've talked about this ad nauseum where I'm at in Western Illinois as it relates to high school sports. All right. So you can see the frustration among college football fans right now, right? With, you know, Big Ten saying no, Pac-12 saying no, but like Big 12 saying they're going to play right now. I don't think SEC has made a formal decision yet, but like in the state of Iowa, so Iowa State is going to play. Two hours down the road in Iowa City, Iowa is not going to play in the Big Ten. But okay, so where we're located at here in Western Illinois, so I can get in my car here today, drive down the highway 15 miles to the west and go watch a football practice in Eastern Iowa. Right.
Yep.
So they're playing. So in that, when I'm talking about, you know, the border communities involving border states. You can go to Indiana. You can go to Wisconsin. Heck, there's the crazy story in Wisconsin and Illinois. There's a co-op between Illinois and Wisconsin. Illinois school can't participate in the co-op because of the restrictions in Illinois, and that co-op plays in Wisconsin, but they're on the outside looking in, and then so
they're the defending state champ.
That's the uniform aspect of all this, you know, of now we're seeing it in college football, but then even at the high school level, some states playing in the fall, some states not playing in the fall. Some of them are border states against one another and doing things that are the exact opposite. How frustrating is that to follow?
Well, it is, and I will tell you my own personal situation. If Morrell Forsyth wasn't going to be back in school and our season would have been canceled earlier, you know, I would have been looking to move with my. I mean, it's that important to my family, and you know, we are going to be in school, and obviously this is my job. But if we were going to be under remote learning, and I could have taught that from a computer in Indiana, Iowa, or Missouri, it would have been a very real option for us. And I know kids are pulling the trigger, especially ones that are closer to the border, that are the borders in three directions that could pull the trigger and make it happen. I've probably had that same conversation with 50 different coaches or parents of kids that I currently coach right now. Unfortunately, that was kind of taken out of our hands, and that the decision in Illinois was made late. And then you weren't really sure how these other states were going to react. Iowa just finished their state baseball and softball, you know, state championships with very little to no issues, you know, at all, and played all summer long. And, you know, since released the stats that it just wasn't an issue. You know, I think there were four total teams that had interruptions in their seasons. No one had a season canceled, you know, over it. And I get baseball and softball are, you know, a little more socially distanced. That's why I was originally, if you follow me, you know, much, I'm our track coach, was really just worried, you know, wanting a total flip, you know, move those sports, baseball, softball, track, all move to, you know, we'd be playing right now. I think it would have gave a lot more, because the other aspect, instead of physical on this, is what it's doing to our kids mentally. I mean, I couldn't imagine myself being, like I said, I live with an 18-year-old, so I know what he's going through. But, you know, the emotional roller coaster that these kids go through, and a town like ours where sports and school are such a huge part of these kids' lives, it's been really tough on them. And I'm big on getting them back into their routine as much as the new normal is going to allow. Are there restrictions? Absolutely. But do I think we can make it go? Do I think it's worth a shot to try and make it go? I absolutely do. So things like that we're suggesting with just all, I mean, if I would have, I could have proposed 9 different plans that I thought, you know, ultimately could have worked. And hopefully this one that we have sticks, and like I said, maybe even expands a little bit. Like I said, I pray daily that, you know, a vaccine for a lot of people, not just my high school athletes. Obviously, it's affecting, you know, the entire world. So
yeah, I agree. And man, to back up, wow. Now we're seeing that in the MAC. So I'm speaking here in the Quad City area, the Mississippi Athletic Conference, which is on the Iowa side with, you know, Bettendorf, Pleasant Valley, those Davenport Central, those schools. And we're hearing a number of kids from Illinois going to play football this fall, and that's why I took a step back when you're saying, man, I'm going to move my kids if it's all remote learning. I'm still going to teach, but I'm going to send my kid to play in another state. This is Josh Jostis saying this on the air. Yep. So that's the type of serious issue we're in. Now, you know, kind of segueing here, the one thing that I think about, you know, doing, could we have done something differently? Now, this is just Jim Taylor speaking. And I blame a little bit kind of the statewide media here on where we're at with high school sports. You know, it wasn't until late July, early August, when the governor was questioned at one of his statewide press conferences about high school sports, you know?
Yeah.
And I went to the second time he addressed high school sports, I went to the press conference in the Quad Cities. It was Rock Island. And I asked him, and I'm like, man, well, it sounds like he's saying that the decision is already been made, but it's such a mixed message and it's tough for the interpretation. And that was a Monday, where basically he kind of said it was up to the IHSA, but he almost inferred that, well, they've already made the decision, they're canceling in the fall or whatever. And so he says nothing about guidelines. And then 48 hours later is that Wednesday of the IHSA board meeting. In the noon hour, the state comes out and they announce these guidelines all of a sudden for sports. And I just wonder, you know, if there wasn't more attention placed on this issue back in April, back in May, back in June. What is the position of high school sports? Because I believe that if there would have been a decision from the state earlier saying, well, we have these risk categories for sports, don't you think if the decision would have been made earlier in June or even in early July, that you actually could have had the realistic flip where you could have had a lot of those spring sports playing in the fall? That's my only criticism, because I really think that could have happened if there would have been more discussion and more attention placed on the governor and IDPH back in the early portion of the summer to say, hey, where are we headed with interscholastic athletics that are supposed to start in early August? I'm sorry I'm going on and on here, but I truly believe that if the discussion would have been earlier, we could have had that true flip, I think, where you could have played baseball and softball here in the fall.
I absolutely agree with everything you just said. And like I said, would I have had a concern as a track coach with my kids? No. Would I be excited if I was having track practice right now? Thrilled to death. I think my kids would have rather been at track practice today. But I've got a tight end. I just tweeted out, but a tight end linebacker for us said, you know what, I'm going to try golf. He's leaving for his first golf match, made the varsity team. It's like, I have no idea, but apparently I'm a top five guy. And our golf team is pretty solid. You know, never golfed in high school as a junior. And so our kids just want to get out. They want to be involved in anything that they would have allowed to. I think that decision could have been made. Hey, it's not going to happen for high risk sports. Football's in the high risk category. So we're going to, you know, flip this season. And I feel like the answer that people kept saying, which was what was driving me crazy, because I have been pushing this, like you said, since May. You know, let's come up with a decision to flip. Well, we don't want to do that to the spring sports. Hey, I legitimately think we had a shot to be a state champ, and I know some of my relays would have been state champs, boys and girls in track this year. So yeah, I was devastated that we lost track. I'm not making light of that decision at all. It would have been flip the seasons. If something happens to this season and you don't get more than 75% of this season in the fall, then it goes to this shortened schedule, you know, that we're doing right now. And I felt like, again, my plans had backup plans that had plans. And I know the IHSA, at least I'm very confident in the job that they do, that they could have they would have had those same plans in place. They just weren't getting that direction of, hey, what are you going to let us do? And then when they finally get it in August, it's too late to, you know, or late July, I guess it wasn't August, but it was too late to do anything other than what we currently have now. And you even saw that, how that worked out for the IESA. I mean, it was so late. Those kids missed a week of practice and then still are doing their regular, you know, season. There's no reason why those guidelines couldn't have been given in June, you know. None.
Yeah, and that's the thing where, you know, to defend the IHSA's position, they're acting at the behest of the Illinois Department of Public Health, and I'm just saying it would have been nice to have those type of guidelines.
They have no control over this situation. Craig Anderson and Sam Knox are great people. I've had lots of conversations with them. Craig's got a senior son, I know, at Morton as well. So, I mean, he wants his kid to be able to participate also, and had talked about a waiver that he would sign off for, you know, his kids. So that shows you how little of decision-making power they had, because he, you know, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, I mean, he said it himself to the public. Would I let my son play? Yes. So, you know, as a three-sport athlete there. But I felt like every time they made a plan, then, you know, something changed in that plan, just as you described the Monday to the Wednesday that we were actually allowed to do something. And so at that point, they kind of gave up. Well, I wish we would have started that in April and May and got those guidelines. And then I felt like we would be in a better spot than we are right now. But without sounding like Debbie Downer, we do at least have something in front of us. And it again gives kids hope. I mean, I've still got kids that are seeing each other, working out, being competitive. I'm not sure it's perfect for their mental health, but I know it's a lot better than what it would have been if I had to walk in on August 10th and say, fellas, it's done. And, I was very thankful I didn't have to do that.
All right, we're taking a lot of time, but Josh Jostice here, the head coach down at Moroa Forsyth, 21 years. You know, the one thing, a couple of other points I want to bring up here and just get your thoughts. You know, when the IHSA announced this modified calendar, and basically you see four seasons, right? Fall, winter, spring, summer. And I'm like, fall, winter, spring, summer. So if we get back to normal, and I guess, you know, that's uppercase I, uppercase F, if we get back to normal, do you think there'd ever be a possibility, and this would have to be driven by the membership of the IHSA, of looking at four seasons in Illinois, going to traditional start in, you know, August, like football, the fall sports, but go fall, winter, spring, and summer season. That's what Iowa basically does. Do you think there would ever be a push or consideration to do something like that in this state?
Well, the quick answer is, if you're still talking, I mean, like with the NFL, football is a fall sport. In Illinois, would it be better if it was in the spring? Probably actually would be. You know, the baseball and softball for the first month are miserable, you know, trying to play in 38 degree temperatures. So moving them back, I think there are some pros and cons. But like I said, football being a fall sport, the NFL's not moving, college football's not moving. Therefore, I don't see high school ever moving. If you meant leave football in the fall and just extend our season,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Then I think that model could possibly exist. I am not sure that is even needed if we're back to our normal schedule, but it does bring up another point that you said. Now that we're playing four seasons and playing way into next, you know, school year, basically, how does that affect next year, you know, the class of 22? And that is a big concern. You know, I know it's a concern in colleges right now, but it's a big concern for us as well. You know, it's going to be a really quick back-to-back. If we say finish the first week of May, then those kids all head off to track, baseball, softball. They play till basically July. I would be a big proponent of saying they need a mandatory 2-week break. Nobody's allowed to do anything in the state, or 3-week break. And then, you know, we start back up in the fall again next year. So I think that's a more interesting. I know how Iowa does it, and it's been successful, but I'm not sure that Illinois needs that wholesale change, you know, as far as going four seasons. But it is an interesting idea.
All right. So I was going to ask you about the transition from one season to next. You answered that. My final question is, now you play, if I remember correctly, you play on an artificial surface, right? You have an
artificial. We do.
Okay.
We do.
So the one concern I hear, and I know it's just 1 year, hopefully, you know, but
yeah.
I'm concerned greatly in this area where I'm at about the natural grass surfaces playing in that type of season when you're talking about dormant grass. And, you know, I know here in March, this part of the state, there's always one significant snowstorm event in the month of March. There always is.
Yep.
All right. And it's just not a great weather month for field conditions. So is there, you think, the concern is real about can some of these games, I mean you're going to have to look at maybe the potential of postponements and cancellations just because the field conditions may not be ready. Or if you play a Friday night in bad conditions on week two and destroy your field, what happens in week three? What happens in week four? I mean, is that a concern right now, a legitimate concern right now, you think?
Well, I'm very, 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 very thankful that we have artificial turf, for our kids to play on. However, we've had plenty of deep runs into late November before we had artificial turf, and I could show you pictures that it's just awful at Walter Boyd Field in late November, which probably isn't going to be a whole lot of difference. And I mean, I can't even count how many practices we've practiced in snow, in November. So I think if you've played late enough, you get that that's not going to be a huge difference. And I really feel like, just having the shot to be able to pull it off. Is it going to be perfect conditions? No. We played Shelbyville in a semifinal game, about 3 years ago, and it's the worst I've ever seen. Snow, sleet, ice, rain, 3 inches of standing water on the field. Never let up the entire time. I mean, it was absolutely like the worst possible conditions. So the kids are just going to be happy to play. As far as canceling, it's football. I mean, is it perfect? 2 years ago, we played St. Teresa in the semifinal game. It was called, the Macon County Super Bowl. The conditions couldn't have been any worse on a field than what we played in. But again, we still lined up and played. I would be shocked if people are canceling. Can you be creative and rent Morrell Forsyth Field or whoever, Augustana's Field or whoever you want to name? I think there will be people doing that. Do I think people will play those first games on a Saturday during the day instead of a Friday night? Probably. I think we will, actually, for the first couple. But that doesn't mean somebody couldn't rent our field out or come and play. Just in our area, we've got 5 turf fields located within, 60 miles of us that I can think of off the top of my head. I would think they'll both be in use Friday and Saturday. I know I would be if I had a field that I knew I wasn't going to trust, that wasn't, in great shape. I would be reaching out and doing that right now, which does kind of lead me back to, if we were going to switch to districts, this stuff really needed to be happening right now. Mm-hmm. Because depending on how this playoff format works out, and what that system even looks like, I mean, you could potentially have 3A defending state champ Williamsville playing Marilla, which is, we're going to be really good. Playing each other, and if only 8 teams are going to make the playoffs, depending on how it looks, you just don't know without a district format how that looks. One of us not even making a playoff, or what does the playoff look like? And that's kind of a scary scenario. I mean, last year I think our game was 48-45 or something, and they went on and won a 3A state champ. So it'll be interesting, but again, at least there's a shot. And like I said, I'm looking at the clock right now. It tells me we're 204 days and 8 hours, 52 minutes away from having to worry about it. So,
right. Well, when you said the Macon County Super Bowl, I heard tickets for that were $500 being scalped. just getting in, and you know, it's something to ponder. We talked about that COVID-19 waiver, and Coach Jostes, he's a lot smarter than me, but he's not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer either, and you know, maybe that's something that, you know, if an Illinois legislator is listening to this, or a school official is listening to this, and maybe an idea or a concept like this can get some traction and get some wheels up, like we say, if there's not going to be a vaccine in the near future, when we approach mid-November, you know, what the question is going to be, are we going to be able to have basketball? Well, I don't know. I mean, as it looks right now today, I think that's a huge question mark that we'll be able to have basketball in mid-November. I'm hopeful, though. But, I mean, I guess that maybe that an idea like that can pick up some more traction.
That's all we can keep right now is just hope. So you're absolutely right. And I love guys like you that throw out ideas because it may spark somebody else's, you know, idea process. I've never even met in person Roxanna's athletic director. And due to a tweet that I sent out about this, sparked his interest. And I mean, he created an entire plan that he shared with, you know, and seemed to be a really good guy. Again, somebody I didn't even know that existed, you know, when this started, and just reached out to me and said, I appreciate you. You know, I was just sitting back taking this in, and, you know, this sparked, and I spent a whole weekend putting this together. Thank God my wife loves me, you know, and loves sports, and said, go for it. And that's the kind of plan that I felt like our athletic director did the same thing. I've done them. I'm not saying any one of them was the right or the wrong plan. It was just get plans out. There's a lot of smart people out there that can come up with a way to tweak or add, like I said, Steve Soucy in his district, you know, format. It's like, I'll have this done in 4 hours, and sends one back. There you go. That's 1 through 8A. 8 classes, everybody's got 7 games, you know, I mean, and bang, there you go. Now we're ready for an Elite Eight, a Final Four, and a state championship. It's a 10-week season, and it was done, you know. So there are a lot of smart people out there. I think the ideas and communication needs to go and continue. And I don't feel like the IHSA actually being a little bit vague this time may be an advantage because they don't know what's going to happen, you know, as we go forward. I do think the waiver is going to become, at some point, I think the waiver is just going to become a waiver, just like our concussion waiver that our kids are so used to signing. And it may not just be COVID-19. It'll be any, you know, you know, virus, or, you know, however that is worded. Again, somebody way smarter than me. Yeah. So,
well, listen, I appreciate all the great observations today, Coach Jostes, and hoping for the best here as the fall approaches. I know kids out playing golf and running cross country, and hopefully basketball and wrestling and all that can get started in mid-November, and before you know it, they'll put the ball on the tee and kick off March 5th, and hopefully we'll have a high school football season. Appreciate the great insight today. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Josh Jostes, head football coach at Moroa Forsyth. Great program down in Macon County. His 21st year leading the Trojans. I'm Jim Taylor on WRMJ.